Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin, and we're holding right here on Tet Zayin, Amud Beit, and we're right at the bottom, the Idach Mahi. Okay, so we've gotten through quite a few of these gezeres. We have the nine in the Mishnah. We had a machlokas, whether we could add the idea of something that was left underneath a drain pipe. And that was a machlokas, whether it is included, Alib de Rabbi Meir, or it's not included, Alib de Rabbi Yossi. He substituted instead of that case the din of Benot Kutim. Now, we gave them a din of Tuma Me'ari Satan, and we also included that, according to him. Getting back now, and this was besides all the other gezeres we were talking about over the course of years, the Idach Mahi, what are the other of the 18? Now, this is a very strange gezer. Now, listen carefully as to what's going on over here. We know that there's a din of tumas mace that is transmitted through an ohel. Now, there are two very important differences in the din of ohel. There's the direct ohel, in which anything that goes over a mate, or a kever of a mate, which is metame kemate, even if it's just a small, tiny kli, a needle, would become tame because it's directly ma'ahil. Then there's something else. There's being in the same, technically speaking, the same house as the mate. Now, the house is defined as being under the same roof, which is defined as an area of one tefach in width. So if you've got a board about this wide, and it's right on top of your head, or on top of your pinky, for that matter, and it extends over a kever hamate, then it would be mitame you, midioraisa, for 7 days, as if you were inside of a house together with a mate. Now, the issue that we're talking about over here is a complex issue because of the fact that what happened here is that a kli, in this case a mardea, remember that the mardea was the cattle prod that you used to keep the cattle walking straight with the plow or for other purposes. And it was a very useful shear because it was standard length and it was a standard width. Now, the standard width of the mardea was 1/3 in terms of its diameter, 1/3 of a tefach. Nowhere near enough to be metame a person as if he's sitting in a board underneath a tefach, because he's only sitting underneath a board of 1/3 of a tefach. If you look at the diameter, why should I look at anything else but the diameter? And yet remember that something which is 1/3 of a tefach in diameter, lehalacha is the minimum shear of 1 tefach in circumference because we round off pi to 3. Now, what happens over here is this. The guy is carrying this mardea on his shoulder. He's walking by, didn't realize for a moment that the other side of the mardea went over a kever. All right? Suddenly somebody shouts, hey, watch out, your mardea is sticking out into the Beis HaKvaris over there. What's the din of that man? That man is tame. But why is he tame? He's tame because the mardea is a kli that went directly over the mace, and therefore it became tame for sure. It is an av hatuma because it was itself ma'ahil. It was not an ohel. It was ma'ahil on a mace. And if it would have been tiny like a needle, it would have been tame also as an avatuma. What's the din of a human who touches something that's an avatuma? He becomes tame. For how long does he become tame? One day. Does he need the paraduma? Of course not. Fine. So now in that case, what should happen is that the guy is tame because his mardea went over a kever. The takana over here was, supposedly, that anything which has a ovi of a mardea, which is only 1/3 of a tefach, because of the possibility of confusing the circumference with the diameter, because of that they were gozer, that even a kli that has a circumference of 3 tefachim is itself also going to be mevi tuma as if it were an actual ohel. Omar Rebbe Tarfon, this is mad. It's not only mad, it's sickening, because it shows such a level of amaratzas that people should believe that such a thing was made, I'm pushed in a velus from it. And akapeach et b'ni, or b'nai, Shezo halacha mikupachat sheshama hashomea v'ta'a. I'm telling you, I am so miserable. It's as if my children died. And I'm telling you that this halacha is dead meat. This is what happened. Somebody made such an idiotic error. Here's a case, and this is how this whole case happened. And you see how sick it is today that people come to these ridiculous conclusions and they turn them into halachas without knowing what they're talking about. What happened was a farmer was walking by. Hayikarover, umardeo aktefo. He's carrying the mardea on his shoulder. This mardea, little bit of it, passed over kever on the other side. So they told him, listen, guy, you're tamei tumas erev, because your mardea was a kli that was ma'il on a mate, and because of that, of course, he is tamei. He's tamei midiraisa. So somebody, looking at this rather obvious psak that any two-year-old should have known, said, gee, duh, why is he tamei? He must be tamei because the mardea was actually an ohel over the mate and over him, and it made him tamei for 7 days, and therefore it must be that the circumference of three is the same as a diameter of three. And because of this, whoever idiot was who said over this halacha was convinced that he had discovered a new gezerah. Rabbi Akiva, look. Let's not go to town like this. I mean, people aren't that dumb. I'm going to explain to you how this thing actually makes sense. And I agree with you 100% that it is nuts to make a gezerah that people are going to confuse a diameter with a circumference. I mean, nobody is that dumb. Okay, so that's not the issue. I'll tell you what the issue is, however, so we don't have to throw out the Mishnah and say that the Mishnah is dumb. So, and I'm going to explain by adding another piece, and now you will see why it makes sense, okay? And I would say it as follows. All mitaltalim are mevim esatuma, but only to the individual who's actually carrying them, the ovi amardea. However, they themselves will become tame no matter how small they are. That's a diaraisa. Even if they're just a needle, if they're ma'ahil, but they will certainly not be metame anybody else unless they have a full diameter of a tefach, okay? And here is why, and now you can see the intelligence of the gezerah. Of course they would never think that you could mistake a circumference and a diameter. But what happened over here is that this guy is confused. He, because of the fact that we had no choice but to make him tame midiraita, he may very well make the mistake of thinking that the reason that they made him tame was because actually he was tame because of ohel, and it's because there's a circumference. And he will say, gosh, they only said I was tame for 1 day, so I guess if you go into an ohel hameis, you're only tame for 1 day. That's the problem, is the guy who's going to misinterpret the psak and will think if we keep to the halacha that there was tuma for 1 day because of ohel hameis, because he is not intelligent enough to know the difference between being ma'ahil and then being nogea, or being yourself an ohel and bringing the tuma onto somebody else. And he will therefore come to the ridiculous conclusion that somebody who was in an ohel with a mace, he remembers the rabbi told him he's only tamei tumas erev, and he's ready to swear to it. Because of that, says Rabbi Akiva, we made a gezerah that if somebody is actually touching and would be tamei midiraisa on for 1 day, we will actually pretend that he is tamei for 7 days, and we'll make him go through the full tyra process and go through the por aduma, because we don't want him making the mistake of being metame things as a 1 day when he really was in an olam hayz. That makes sense. As far as the way you had quoted the Mishnah originally, you're 100% right. That was wrong. We certainly did not make an overall gezerah that something with the circumference of a tefach is going to be enough to be metame people or anything else as if they're in an ohel hameis. And Rabbi Yonai clarified that the standard mardeya, a mardeya is something that certainly does not have a diameter of a tefach, but it does have a circumference of a tefach. And because of this particular case, Gazru ala kefo mishum ovyo, in the case that you are the individual who actually touched it and was tamei d'oraisa with Rabbi Akiva's tikkun. Now we've got another one of the Yudchas Dvarim. Well, I mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, we have another one of the Yudchas Dvarim. Rabbi Tarfon has said he's ready to give up on his own kids if you think that this makes any sense. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, you're missing one, right? Om Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak. Okay, but we always have one in reserve, remember? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, who was arguing with Rabbi Meir before about the question of leaving out a bucket, he used Benot Kutim Nidot Me'ari Satan, right? So now, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, in the case of the bucket in the yard, then you still have your extra gezerah, and you could say that this man, the Amar Rabbi Tarfon, also holds Benot Kutim Nidot Me'ari Satan, was one of the Yudches Dvarim. And as far as the bucket is concerned, he agrees with Rabbi Meir, and therefore he is not missing anything. Next case, please. Bleep. Okay, the next case is Abotzer Legat. So somebody is collecting he's harvesting his grapes, and he is on the way to making some delicious wine. Shammai Omer, look, if there's any wet on that grape when you picked it from dripping, then it's bad news because it's mukshel kabal tuma, and therefore you better make sure that you're using the kalim that will not be medame these grapes because you won't be able to make kosher wine. Hillel Omer, lo huksha. Ask Hillel to Shammai. You know, you guys are totally inconsistent. I mean, if you're going to tell me that any kind of liquid, even if a guy doesn't want that liquid, I mean, why would he want the liquid? It's just going to fall all over. It's going to get wrecked and drip out of the basket. So how come you're makbid on the grapes and you're not makbid on olives, which is exactly the same situation? You get a little bit of olive oil on the olive and it will be matame, even though he's on his way to squeeze olive oil. So how come there's no problem with that? Ein moskin betara. Now, actually, there were a lot of discussions between Shammai and Hillel about this. Every explanation that Shammai gave for the difference, Hillel proved that that was not a difference. Until finally Shammai said, okay, listen here. If you keep pressing me, I'll press you. And we'll make additional pressing halachas. You say there's no difference between grapes and olives? Very good. Let's not make any difference between grapes and olives. And olives also are going to be mekabel tuma. So I warn you, either shut up or you're going to get another gezerah, okay? What do you want to do? So imtak nitein, if you keep getting on my nerves, remember that we have the majority here. Gozrani tuma al hamesika. Okay, so they decided they're going to have to take a vote. Now this was Shammai and Hillel themselves, not to be confused with the Yudches Dvarim. So what happened over there is they took a sword, they put it in the door of the Beis HaMedrash, and they said, we are programmed to receive, but you can never leave. So, anichnas, v'hayotze, al yetze. We're going to take a vote on this, come hell or high water. And they did. And oto ayom haya Hillel kafuf yoshev v'nei Shammai ke'achad min ha-talmidim. There was poor Hillel, outvoted, sitting in front of Shammai as if he is the master. And Hillel, who was the nasi, was one of the Talmidim. V'haya kashe l'Yisrael, this was a horrific day. It was like the day, k'yom shenaseh bo ha'egel, this was like the day that they made the Egel Azov. What did they do for the Egel Azov? They once had a leader who was humble, who was sweet, who was gentle, who was caring. His name was Moshe. They don't have a Moshe, what do? They go and create a Midas Adin because the shore is connected to Tzofen. Remember on the Merkava, and Tzofen is always the hidden area, which is connected Midas Adin. You want Midas Adin? Fine. Take Shammai. Let Hillel, the Anav, the sweetheart, let him sit there like an idiot while you go ahead and worship your new halacha. And it's the same thing as the day of the Egel. What a disaster. Anyway, so that after that, they were gozer. And after all of this, the gezerah didn't catch on. And therefore, they needed to redo that gezerah when they were the Talmidim of Shammai Vehillel. So that's Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel had the same thing happen in the Yudches Davar. And they, in the end, they were gozer Shammai Vehillel, Veloki Bluminayo, and the Talmidim came along. And in the end, they waited part of the Yudches Dvarim. But what is the reason for this gezerah? Isn't the liquid going to just go to waste? And remember, liquid that isn't ki yitain, then as if ki yutan was ki yitain, is not makshir. This is a gezerah. Now, this is a completely new. Rebbes don't yawn. Rebbes that yawn, chas v'sholem. I mean, I don't even want to say what happens to such rebbes. Rebbes stay up all night long speaking to their chassidim, pretending that they don't feel in the least bit tired while the poor chassid who was out there waiting for the past 3 days to get in for his yechidas, he's going nuts. How is the Rebbe not yawning? I'm going crazy. If you're ever going to get into that seat, you got to practice, man. Never, ever yawn. Okay. So anyway, getting along with this. This is a new halacha. And this halacha is that if the kli itself is tame, then because of the confluence of the actual tumah with the moment of the emission of the liquid, that itself is machshiv, the emission, for its sensitivity to tumah, and it would be machshir even though it wasn't done l'ratzon. That's Ze'iri's approach. Says the Gemara, but that's only good according to the Man D'Amar who holds that there is such a concept. That concept is called kli tamei choshev mashkin. That if a kli itself is tamei, then the mashkin that are emitted in that kli are ipso facto mashkin that are machshir l'kabel tumah. And if you don't hold that, Laman Diomer ain't kli tamei choshev mashkin, what would be the reason for a gezera of liquid on a grape? Doesn't make sense. Okay, Elo Amar Ziri, Ziri changed his mind. You know what Rav Chanina had said was? Not that you're going to put it into a tamei basket, but that you might put it into a plastic-lined basket. So if you put it into a kupa mezufefet, of course they didn't use plastic, but they used waterproofing with resins or tar. And therefore, there you would want the liquid because it's not going to go to waste. You're perfectly happy for any liquid in that basket, which will be all in the end land up in your grape press. So fine, that would be l'ratzein. Whereas Rav Amar, there's a much better gezeira. The gezeira is mishum hanoshot. Look. You often have, as I'm sure you've experienced, if you're buying raw grapes on clusters and you need to separate sometimes one cluster from the other, oftentimes they are stuck one on the other and you have to pull them apart. If you pull them apart, you're always going to pull out a little bit of the skin and you're going to cause a little bit of bleeding on those grapes, which is called grape juice. And so you'll say, okay, but I don't want it to bleed. That's all very nice. But remember about a psik resha, which is the case in Shabbos, where you just want to have a chicken head for your child to use as a little puppet. And so you say, okay, I'm cutting off the chicken's head to give to little Johnny so he could play with it. But I certainly don't want the chicken to die. Well, that's considered to be kavana for the chicken to die, believe it or not. And the same thing is true over here. Since you know when you pull apart these clusters, there's no choice but to kill some of those grapes, then by definition, you want that mashke, and therefore the mashke will actually be metame. So if you do that, then it's going to be kiyutan. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, I have a very simple explanation. Can it not be a standard case that a guy goes into his vineyard and he wants to see how ripe his grapes are? Are they ready for harvesting to take to the wine press? So he gives a little squeeze, squish, squish. And when he gives that little squeeze, out comes a little bit of grape juice. Says the man, my grapes are nice and yummy and ready to go. He goes home, phones up the crew. 2 hours later, they're out there and they are harvesting those grapes. But meanwhile, the grapes are still wet from his original test. And that he did want. And because of that, Bishat Bitsira Dain Mashka Tofeach Aleihem. That little bit of mashka is enough to mess up the whole thing. That's why Shammai was Geyser. Okay, next. What's the next one of the Yudchas Dvorim? Omar Tavi Rishba. Rashi learns Tavi Rishba is the name of a Rishba, a trapper. Rishba is a lotion of Nishbim. The Aruch has Rishba as actually being an acronym that says Resh Beit Av. He was the head of the family and has nothing to do with trapping. But in any event, so he quoted Shmuel as saying that one of the gezeiros on that day was that if somebody plants truma, And that truma now grows into a truma tree, which you could do this with cash. The din is that everything that grows on that tree is truma, since it grows from a truma tree. And that was on that day as well. My time, and what's the basis of making such a gezeira? Since normally when something is planted, the seed dissolves into the ground, and now what grows is not considered to be related to the initial thing. Omer Rebbe Chanina, because it's possible that a Yisroel will have truma, and he wants to eat it, and he figures the way to eat it. I don't want to give it to a Kohen and waste it, for heaven's sakes. Next thing you know, you'll have Barnea making all kinds of pictures on Zoom with what to do with your truma. So instead, what he does is, he plants it, and he figures when the truma tree grows, he'll have lots of great things to eat, and he won't have to give it to Barnea. And therefore, we were gozer that he should not get away with this. Oh, my Rava, that's crazy. I mean, look, if the guy is that desperate not to give truma, he has a very simple eitzah. He doesn't have to go to all this ridiculous planting truma trees. All he has to do is take off truma by taking off one kernel. He said, well, the rabbi said you're supposed to give a 50th. Fine, so don't give a 50th. Anyway, you want to mess up the coin, right? So don't give a 50th. Take off one kernel of wheat for 500 million kernels. That bothers you to give Barnea? No. So Mamela, you'll have that one kernel of truma, and everything else you'll eat. I mean, if you're trying to cheat anyway, that's a heck of a lot easier than planting truma trees. So if the guy's not doing that, then obviously he has no intention of cheating a coin, and he's emnuyamne, so he's believed. I'll tell you what the issue is. The issue is if a coin has truma that became tume, that's the issue. So now what is he going to do with this, all of this wheat, which is tume? He's not allowed to eat truma tumea, so he's got a great idea. He will plant an entire field of truma trees. And then when all of that truma grows, it won't be tummy anymore, because once something is planted and grew, it loses its tuma. And, okay, so what's wrong with that? It's true. What's wrong with it is, what if it's not the time for planting? What if planting time is 4 months away? And meanwhile, he's got all of this truma tumea in his house. And it comes along his wife and makes some flour and makes challahs and didn't realize it was truma tumea. In the end, it's going to be atili de takala. So because of that, we make a gezeira, gidule truma, truma. I don't drink truma, Barnea. That's for you.
I only burn it, shem and sreifa.
V'idach. Give me another one. Omra priya barami mishmei de'ula. Af mishi chshich lo baderach noten kiso lenochri bo b'yom gazru. Somebody who's walking along the road, he thought he was going to make it home before Shkia. It's Erev Shabbos, and he is not making it home before Shkia. And the worst part about it is, he's got $100,000 in his wallet, and he's carrying his wallet. Rebbe, what do I do? Rebbe, help. So he's in big trouble. So before this gezeira, he had a simple eitzah. He just walks less than 4 amas all the time. Walks 3 amas and stops. And he's Eimed Lafush. He walks another 3 amas and stops. Finally, in the morning, he's home. So at least that way, he never carried 4 amas brushes around him. Puts it down outside of his house. Whew. Thank heavens. They made a gezeira, since it's very likely that this guy is going to walk a little bit more than 3 amas and fush. So they made a gezeira. You're not allowed to do that. You have to give it to a goy and ask him to carry it for you. That was another one of the gezeiras. Okay, give me another one. V'idach, says Bali. This is an island. Omer Avimi Sanvata. They were gozer. Pat akum. Now you're not supposed to eat bread that was baked by a goy. Oil that was made by a goy, wine that was made by a goy, and take a girl who is a goy, those are all in the Yud Ches Dvorim. So now that gives us 18, and we'll go through them all in a minute. Now, obviously, there's going to be a big machlokas about how we learn this based on the machlokas we already talked about between Rashi and the Rambam, whether we are including the two dinim of Lo Yikra Lo Ohaner and Lo Yafales Kelav Lo Ohaner, if we include those or don't include them. So Rashi learns that these are all one gezeira, as we're going to see. Now you're going to ask, wait a minute, I thought you're not allowed to marry a goyish girl anyway. So what do you mean they made a gezeira on benotehem? Okay, so the Gemara asks this kasha, not here, when the Gemara discusses this at Avodah Zarah and so on. It turns out that actually the din of benotehem is really only if you actually marry them. That's what it says, lo titchaten ba. As far as having casual relations with a goya, is not usur. It's just that that became one of the early gezeiras of the Beit Din of the Chashmonaim, that they said anybody who has casual sex with a goy is going to be chayav malchus. Now, there was also an addition in the Yud Ches Dvarim. The Yud Ches Dvarim was that they assured according to one man, the Amritz, that they assured yichud with a goya, and the other shita is that they gave a din of nidais to all goyas. Okay, but whatever it is, that gezerah of benotehem is included in here with, according to Rashi, pitan, shamnan, v'yenan are all part of it. So now we have 18. Wait a minute. We have 18 according to Rabbi Meir, who included the bucket in the drain pipe. But what about according to Rabbi Yossi, who said, no, absolutely not. That was not included. They're still arguing about that case. So then there's only 17. Okay, there's another one. The other one goes like this, is Rav Acha bar Ada, because Rav Acha bar Ada says, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that Gozer al pitan mishum shamnan, they made a gezerah not to eat the bread of a goy, because you will come to eat the oil of a goy, and the oil of a goy they asked because of the yayin of a goy. What are you talking about? What's the difference between bread and oil? I don't understand. Why would they be gozer pot because of oil? The oil that, I mean, is there something different of oil than bread that we should have to go through step by step? No, sorry, I said that wrong. What I meant was gozer al pitan v'shamnan, both oil, bread, only because of the wine. Now, the reason that they were gozer on the wine is because wine, that is obviously a lot closer to illicit relations. I mean, the wine is basically, you're already sitting together and drinking. That was the gzera mishum benotehem. Now, the reason that they were so makbid al benotehem is because of davar acher. Davar acher is avodah zarah. I mean, the Torah said that. You know, what's going to happen is you're going to go after their girls. And this was the story, of course, of benos Moab, benos Midian, that they always use honey traps for avodah zarah traps. So that's the asheratem zonim acharehem. So because of that, we made a gezerah to get far away from honey traps, and honey traps start with wine traps. So because of that, they ossered the wine, and therefore once already ossered wine, there was an isser of the whole deal. Now, I'm not going to have any wine. We'll just go out together and have a little bit of pizza. No, pizza no good. The pitan is ossered. The shamnan is ossered. Fine. Okay. And then, but what Rav Acha bar Ada adds is that they made another gezerah because of another thing. Al davar acher mishum davar acher. What was that? The davar acher was that they also made a gezerah on a male goy. We know that there was the gezerah benot kutim that we mentioned earlier, benot kutim that have a din of nidot me'ari satan. But they made a gezerah on every male goy that he would have a din of a zav. Again, even as a child. And why did they do that? They did that because since it's very acceptable in goyish circles to have homosexual relationships, they did not want Jewish kids playing with non-Jewish kids, and therefore, shelo yetinok yisro ragil etzlo b'mishkav zachor. Now the question is that the same as the gezera of the benos kusim if you don't need that gezera? So this is problematic for the Rambam, as we'll see, because the Gemara asks over here, according to Rabbi Meir, if we're going to add this, then we're going to have 19, and we're only supposed to have 18. So what do we do about that? What the Gemara answers is that remember the two early gezeras of Eichlin that can be Gabaltuma from Mashkin, and that is that every Mashka is Chazer Leoy's Rishain, even the way Tosfos learns, even if it comes from Stam Yadayim, and it will be Metama Eichlin. But remember that there was another Gezerah, which was that since it's possible to mistake Mashkin for, let's say, wet hands from urine or spit of a Zav, it would be Metame Midiraisa, so that's also Metame Kalim, remember? Well, Rabbi Meir would learn That's all one gezerah. Whether the mashkin b'tami, erchlin or mashkin b'tami, kelim is considered to be one, not two, and therefore kelim shnit gub mashkin b'chada chashiv lehu. He includes this as a single gezerah, and therefore we do not list it separately, and everything works out fine according to this. Okay, so then that would mean that the way in which, but the Gemara seems now very clearly to indicate that we can't answer Rabbi Meir by saying that we're going to simply include the male Zov with the female Benos Gusim as one Gezerah because of the Nidos Me'ari Satan. Instead, we have to look elsewhere and answer that the two Gezerahs of Mashkin that are Metamim Eichlin and Mashkin that are Metamim Kalim are one. Now, the Rambam doesn't learn like this in his list. And we'll go through, let's go through first what the cases are that we know. Okay, so we started off with the Mishnah in Zavim. Remember, all of the things that are Metame, Ochel Ochel Rishon is a Sheni, Ochel Ochel Sheni is a Sheni, Shaskamashkin Tameim, all the things that are Metame Truma to be Pasul, meaning that they make it the equivalent of a Shlishi. And that included, of course, the Gezerah of Stam Yadayim as well. That was nine, because even though there were 10 things that were mentioned in the Mishnah in Zavim, we had to take out the Tfu Yom being Pasal Truma, because that was a D'oraisa. So we're left with nine. Okay. Then if we include, so what we're looking for then is the other nine. What are the other nine? So the way that we come out, according to the way Rashi learns the Sugya, is that, remember, we are going to include Lo Yikra La'oraner and Lo Yifalet Kelav La'oraner, because it said that those were also included, that they are from the Yud Ches Davar. Okay, so then we have also Benot Kutim. Let's start from the Benot Kutim, and then we'll throw in the others. So we have Benot Kutim as number 10. We have the Gezerah that we had today that Rabbi Tarfon thought was nutso, which was the Kol Sheyesh Behekefo Tefach is going to be Metame, a person, or according to Rabbi Akiva, is going to be Metame, the person who carries them as if it was an Ohel. So, okay, that would be number 11. Then we had what we had today with Shammai about Habotzer Legat. The Habotzer Legat would be number 12, even though, you know, we had to come out, we weren't sure what the reason was. We had a lot of different possibilities. Then we had this Amud, number 13, was Gidule Truma Truma. And then we had on this Amud number 14, which was that if you are carrying your wallet before Shabbos, you must give it to a goy to carry for you. You cannot carry it Pachot Pachot Biarba Amos. So that was number 14. Then we can add the Ein Polin Lo'or Haner, the Ein Korim Lo'or Haner, according to Rashi, which gives us 15 and 16. And then we get to these last ones. So according to Rashi, we have Pat, Shemen, Yayin, Benoteim, he lists these all as one, which is number 17. And then this last one of the Tinok, male Tinok to be a Zav, is number 18. And then that gives us the Yud Ches Davar, and everything is fine. But remember, according to the Rambam, he took yesterday's Gemara about that first they were Chalek and then Hushvu as referring to three separate lists of 18. So the 18 starts from the beginning of the Perek. And then we have the cases in the opening Mishnah where we have those eight cases. And then we have all of the various things that you're not supposed to go out and you're not supposed to be, you know, the Chayat shouldn't go out and so on and so forth. All of those Mishnahs, which added up to a total of 18, including Ein Korin La'or Haner, including Ein Polin La'or Haner, including Lo Yochal Hazav Im Hazava. It works out to exactly 18 cases mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Rambam, that's what the Gemara is referring to when it said yesterday there were 18 cases that in the end they agreed upon, that initially were a Machlokas, and then Hushvu. That's not the 18 Gezeras, for heaven's sakes. Why would it say Hushvu? Who cares about Hushvu? It's too late now to be Hushvu. That's like one of Aesop's fables, you know, great. After they got you and they now make the Gezerah, you come in and say, yeah, actually, I always thought all along that it was a good Gezerah. Thank you very much. So that does not make sense. Okay. Therefore, it says the Rambam, that's a different 18. Now that we're talking about the 18, And those 18 included all of those dinim. Don't take a haircut. Lo yoshev de'asapar. Lo yikanes adam lemerchatz. Leburski lechol ledin the yotzei achayat the lavlar bekumos and the loyefale and the loyekrela oraner. All of those cases, including loyochalazavi mazava, those are not part of this at all. So therefore, what we have over here is the and he doesn't include these two of benos kusim and tinok as being separate gezeras. But he instead does list pas as one gezerah, the shemen as another gezerah, yayin as another gezerah, yichud as another gezerah, and then he has the gezerahs that we talked about before, about the Ovi Amardeya, the way Rabbi Akiva learns, botzer legat, gidule truma truma, mishich shich baderech, and not including, of course, the Ein Polin Lor on there, like Rashi does, not including the Ein Korin, and therefore the Gozral Tino Koi, according to him, is included in one Gezerah, together with Bnot Kutim, and he's finding only people who needed an extra one to fill in would count them as separate. So that would be the 18, according to the Rambam. It works out perfectly if we include the 9 from the Mishnah in Zavim, because we have exactly 9 over here over the past day and a half. So we have very different approaches, and according to the Rambam, the next Mishnah begins the 18 cases in which in Yud Ches Nechleku, that we're about to read from here till the end of the Perek, and we will see that we have exactly 18 cases, and that remains a machlokas. Beit Shammai says X, Beit Hillel says Y, and we pass it like Beit Hillel, as we usually do, or the Chachamim give us some dat machriya, but in any event, that is the Tzurat HaInyan, Aliba the Rambam, and HaKol Sharir V'Kayam, and we've gone through the Yud Ches Dover, as if it were sliding down a slope on a nice mountain. Nothing to it, as you could see. So if you have any 5-year-olds in the house, you might want to tell them over the Yud Ches Dover so that by the time they get to school, they can say it over to their friends, and it'll become maybe even a popular song in no time at all.